I be playing.
Hello and welcome to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm Mark Mayfield, and with me are co-host Dr. Adam Sterrett, Assistant Vice President for Student Life here at UA, and Andrew Deere, who's Coordinator of Facility Operations for University Recreation. It's week 12 of the college football season, and Bama has what many people consider to be a much easier game today than they had last Saturday night in Starkville. But Mercer hasn't exactly been a pushover this year. I think Auburn only beat them by 14 points. So we'll get to all that in the next hour. But guys, tell you what, we got a lot of other games around the country today. What do you think?
Well, it's kind of cupcake week, as we've discussed, and it's cupcake week before turkey week, I guess. And so there are a lot of games, not a ton of compelling games. I guess USC and UCLA is one of those games that generally is kind of a big deal. LSU-Tennessee, another big deal that maybe isn't so much of a big deal this year. Texas A&M at Ole Miss. And so those are three games that in a lot of seasons would be huge matchups and would make this a little bit less of a cupcake week, but not so much this year. I guess Michigan-Wisconsin kicking off here in not too long at 11 is – the biggest game. That's a two ranked teams,
right?
But that's mostly about Wisconsin more so than Michigan, I think, to see how real Wisconsin is in Michigan, and your khaki idol has kind of drifted away a little bit this season, but remained
in
top 25.
In his honor.
I know.
We're
I see.
Getting ready for the big game.
You got your cleats already.
Yeah, absolutely.
So strangely enough, that game's a little bit more interesting, I guess, but really because of Wisconsin. The rest of the slate is relatively boring.
So right? Wisconsin has Michigan left. They have Ohio State left. And is that it?
I don't think they have OSU. I think they have
– and then obviously
they have
the
Michigan,
Big Ten championship.
They have Michigan
they
in a
that.
Big Ten championship.
Right, right.
Like you said, Adam.
They got to blow out Michigan, right?
I don't know.
I think they've got to blow them out.
I really – yeah, do they have to blow them out?
I
yes,
think so. Right.
Absolutely. But that you're right. That's the only game really with a lot of meaning today. It's kind of a down week. Any other year, I would be fired up for LSU-Tennessee. Mm-hmm. You know, two traditional within the past 20 years, I guess, really good football programs. But yeah, like Adam said, other than that, just nothing to get too excited about. Georgia's probably, which we'll get into this later with my fearless picks. Georgia's probably going to handle Kentucky pretty well, even though Kentucky is 7-3 at this point, and they're going to a bowl game. I know all my Kentucky folks are really excited. All my friends that went there really, really excited with 7-3. They are more fired up this year than probably ever before since Rich Brooks has been there. Honestly, so
yeah, Wisconsin's got. I just double checked. They've got Michigan this week, Minnesota next week, and then the Big Ten championship. So they really get a good draw.
They don't have Ohio State.
They don't have Penn State. They really get a good draw this year.
And that's part of the knock on them with their schedules. They don't get Ohio
That's why
State.
They've got to blow out Michigan, and they've got to win a big Ten championship to probably be in that top four. And we don't want the listeners to think we're not going to watch football all day Saturday either. And so, yes,
you're sorely mistaken if you don't think I'm going to watch football.
Maybe we're
all
bringing
day
the
Saturday.
Energy a little lower than we should here this morning. But really, we're going to watch the heck out of these games. And an LSU – a bad LSU, who are they playing? A bad LSU-Tennessee game is still a game to watch. And
Because of LSU, the Vols are just, they're gone. I mean, they're history for this year.
Brady Hoke is their head coach at this point.
Right, that's how bad
it is. He is leading that football
program.
They're
proud to have Brady Hoke.
I think
they are.
Said. Will he
they
be
are.
In a headset on Saturday?
It's a good question.
I think so. I think that's what he's, I think I read that. Who knows?
I did
too.
I just.
But, you know, but for LSU, every time they win now, they're helping Bama's strength of schedule.
Yep.
And I think LSU's kind of turned it around, and who knows whether Coach O is going to stay there that long or not. But they're a pretty tough football team right now. If I was a mediocre team out there, I don't think I'd be wanting to play LSU right
absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they're still limited at the quarterback position, but Darius Geis is absolutely one of the best running backs in America right now, and he will be a top draft pick, and they've run the ball well, and they've stopped the ball this year, which are two key things to do if you're going to win football games. So
yeah.
LSU, they're a bit above average in a weak SEC this year, I feel like.
Yeah. Well, and after a great slate of games last week, some of the mystery has kind of gone away in the at least the conference championships, which lead into the playoff. And so you've got, I think the Pac-12 is locked up, right, as far as who's going to be in there. At least USC's in.
USC's in.
For sure. I think Big Ten, Wisconsin's locked up, I think, on their side. I don't think they can do much to get out of that slot.
Right.
ACC's pretty much locked up, I think, with a Miami and Clemson showdown, right?
Is.
And
yeah.
so
yeah.
Some of the championship games are already set.
Yeah. I think the SEC being one of them that's not complete yet. We won't
really
know until the Iron Bowl,
but it will be
Georgia. Yeah.
The West, right?
And the West.
Because there are some tiebreakers that can happen on the West that would give Auburn, even with two losses.
Yeah, they'll –
because of where our tiebreakers
Bama,
are,
they
right?
go. I mean, they go because of the I think because of tiebreaker. Because I think LSU has two conference losses. Auburn only has one at this point. So I think they go.
As much as we dislike Auburn and we give them a hard time and we root for Alabama on this show, it is really exciting to know that next week's Iron Bowl will be the deciding factor of who goes to Atlanta. That's a fun position to be in as a fan.
Well, you're a true fan because I'd rather see Bama have already.
Yeah, you know what's way more fun for me is not having to worry about it and knowing that
it's fun to just have that genuine hate for Auburn. It's deep down in your soul, and it's easier for me to get up.
The Iron Bowl is good for college football.
Absolutely.
It's going to be an incredibly important game now, and you can bet that College Game Day is going to be down there in Auburn. They haven't announced that, but a week
you got to imagine.
You can't imagine they'll be anywhere else. I wouldn't think that.
Shockingly,
that
you know who College Game Day hasn't been here all season.
No, all season.
And it
feels
like for the last 5 years
they've
been here 3 to 4 times a season, and they haven't been here at all.
No, normally they would have been here for any Bama LSU game
Absolutely.
In Tuscaloosa, but not this year. It's just a kind of an indictment, I guess, of some of the other SEC teams, certainly not Alabama, but other SEC teams. They've just been bigger games, it seems like, around the country. I'm intrigued by the UAB at Florida game. UAB is playing good football.
And Florida's completely
not.
Quit.
Right. So I don't know. We'll talk about that. But there may be some fearless picks going on with that. We'll see.
I do think, too, looking forward – and not to focus on the Iron Bowl too much, but if your losses are LSU and Clemson and you're Auburn and your wins are Georgia and potentially Alabama and you make it in, then you've still got a one-loss Alabama team that lost to Auburn and that loses to potentially either
– It really muddies the water.
Yeah, it really does muddy the water, especially with especially if Oklahoma takes an L here in the next couple of weeks because Oklahoma seems to own – a little bit more credibility right now with the Big 12 champion getting into the playoff than we've seen in the last few years. And who knows what's going to happen with Miami and Clemson. And as much as I'm knocking Clemson and as much as I was surprised that Clemson was at number two, I saw a tweet that reminded me that their loss last year was against an awful Pitt team. And certainly I'd forgotten about that, and I think a lot of us forgot about that. So losing to Pitt and losing to Syracuse, frankly, are the same thing, if you ask me. And so they bounce back from that. And so it'll be real interesting, I think, with as we get closer to the playoff. And I think the Saturday of the conference championships will be a really, really good conference championship Saturday coming up here in a few weeks.
Well, I did see reading something this morning about the – You know, that Ohio State, for instance, and I know you're an Ohio State fan as well, but they, you know, it's talking about whether they can get back into it. And I'm like, but if Bama only loses one game and Ohio State's got two really bad losses.
Yep.
I mean, it's not a bad loss when you talk about Oklahoma,
but
that's a
Iowa
bad
is.
Loss to Iowa.
Yep.
I'm like,
they got killed. They got killed by Iowa.
There's absolutely no way the committee should put in a
two-loss
Ohio State against a one-loss Bama. Bama loses to Auburn.
Even if they blow out an undefeated Wisconsin, I think it would be hard to do too. I think a lot of other people have to lose in the next 2 weeks for that to happen.
Yeah, I know. Well, look, guys, that sort of sets a table around the nation. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back with a discussion we're calling, Rip Pants. What else can we do? You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey, I'm Paul Feinbaum. My favorite station in the world, 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey,
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Well, Nick Saban had really a press conference for the ages this week. Number one, he was in a kind of a good mood.
He was.
Number two, he started talking about fashion, which is really more of Mark Mayfield's kind of strength here between his work with
Shout
Alice.
Shout out to Alice,
his
yeah.
His work right. with khakis.
Yep.
But yeah,
Guilt
he really,
by association.
Absolutely.
Or credit by association.
Right, yeah, yeah. Either way. And yeah. So he really got into the ripped jeans movement. And
he did.
Certainly came off as the old man that he is.
I think he wanted to call the fashion police.
I think he did.
I think he did. And he might be the fashion
he
police.
Might be.
Alice
yeah.
needs to do a feature on that
yeah.
next,
it's
next
gotta
issue.
Be.
It's cross
right?
promotion.
At least on the website. That's got to be on the Alice side. He has now ventured into the fashion world.
Right.
Like, you know, that was pretty funny.
We've gotten into a silly part of the year, and finally some of the things have – the other shoes have dropped, to use another fashion kind of connection
yeah,
there and we've lost Butch Jones.
Yep.
So we got no coach at Tennessee. Well, I mean, we got Brady Hoke, but we got no coach at Tennessee. We've got no coach at the University of Florida. We've got no AD, Jeff Long, who was a big architect in the early football playoff and was the chair of that committee, and who's been very well respected from what
I have
seen throughout other ADs and throughout the NCAA. He's out at Arkansas, which makes you think that old Bert, what's his name, is heading out pretty quick because he wasn't on a he was going to go out before, and so you got to imagine
he's headed. He's already
go,
called
right?
a moving company, or somebody's called it for him.
Yeah, there's a for sale
there's
sign
no
in
doubt.
His yard, whether
no
a
doubt.
Fan put it there already or whether he put it out there. And
he's
so,
gone. And you know, if I was thinking about that, look at Brett Bielema and look at where he came from. Look at how great Wisconsin's doing.
Yeah,
he could have stayed there.
Absolutely,
I questioned that 2 years ago, three years ago when it happened, because that would have been a great again. A bad program in the SEC, much less the SEC West.
Right.
I don't think that's a better job than one of the top four programs in the Big Ten.
No.
Like we were talking off air about why would Jimbo Fisher leave Florida State when you can have the recruiting level of an SEC kind of school
right.
in an ACC conference that's a little weaker. I don't know why you go
well,
somewhere like that.
I don't know why Arkansas would have hired Bielema anyway, because
right.
look at okay, Petrino deserved to get fired. There's no doubt
totally.
About that. But look at the high-powered offenses they were running,
right.
and they went just the opposite
right.
to a guy that's just 3 yards in a cloud of dust.
Yeah,
and it has not worked out for them.
No.
I mean, it really has not worked out at all. Plus, as you said, Adam, they're in the SEC West. They got Nick Saban every year to deal
right.
with. It was just a. You know, you would have thought they would have gone for another offensive coach,
absolutely.
But they didn't do it.
And they even did it at a bad time in the West. And so maybe 10 to 15 years ago in the West, where we were still playing 3 yards in a cloud of dust,
yeah.
but the SEC West has been moving towards offense and spread and quickness. And so you're going to pick Alabama and LSU and all these teams that are going high-powered offense style, and you're going to hire somebody from 12 years
yeah.
ago. I don't get it.
Right.
To talk about why Bielema would go to Arkansas, I think – and we all know this. I think the coaches they're wired differently, right? They want they want to be competitive. They want to compete with the best. And I'm guessing that's why he went to Arkansas. Unless there was something with the AD at Wisconsin, or he just wasn't happy, or it's too freaking cold up there. You know, who really knows? But as somebody who roots for Tennessee, and I know Florida fans feel this way, hoping still, you know, that. A coach that comes in has that competitive drive that wants to take those two programs to, you know, the next level. So,
yeah.
but
my guess
besides,
is Barry Alvarez,
but, right?
Yeah.
And he did
there
not
was,
get
there
along.
Was something going on,
and
right.
either you don't
yeah.
like working for somebody who's still got their
has
thumb on
be.
The program,
right?
Or Alvarez didn't like him, and Alvarez is the king,
in
Wisconsin, and he's
forever
gonna remain
and
the king forever and always, and rightfully so, to be honest with you. He
yeah.
built that program to be what it is, and has built the rest of their athletics program up, and so.
Because otherwise, Brett, his last name I always fumble over, so I'm not
right.
even saying it. But otherwise, he was doing a pretty good job at Wisconsin.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so you're right. There had to be something else going
that's
on there, because
yeah.
that's not even a lateral move in my mind. That's
no.
kind of a move downhill. But he wasn't fired.
He
so,
coached in one of the
– at least as far as we know.
He coached one of the best Rose Bowl games I can remember.
Yep.
Against TCU. That was one of the best college football games I remember watching.
Yeah.
He was
you
playing
know.
There when Ohio State was on sanctions and was just getting themselves together. He was playing there before Harbaugh came to Michigan when Michigan was down. So he
right.
was playing – he was coaching at Wisconsin when Wisconsin had a better chance – to run the Big Ten, and just it just didn't work, and so I don't whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know why we're talking about him anymore, but he's going to be gone pretty
soon. His seat isn't hot. It's burning. It's already
in
flames.
So what about Kevin Sumlin talking about a hot seat? What are y'all's thoughts on that? I mean, it seems like it's the end for him.
It's a good question. I think always you've got to look at who else is out there that's better.
Right.
And if there's only two programs with open jobs right now, then I think Coach Sumlin is gone. But you're competing against the University of Florida. You're competing against University of Tennessee. You're competing against all these other schools. And I think that I'd say TAMU is a better job than Tennessee right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's probably not a better job than Florida. Florida's getting first pick
Florida's
here.
Florida's still a great job.
And so are you going to get your second or third or fourth pick of who you want? And is that person better than your current coach? And I don't know that they are right now.
Yeah, you might be right, Adam, just on the timing of this.
Yeah.
Thing. They may give him another year just because there is nobody available.
And see what happens.
Who's better. And they why disrupt the program even more if you know you can't bring in anybody at this particular time that's going to do it better? Also, I will give someone a little credit in that he has tried to beef up his defense, which has been his big problem. He's made efforts to do that. And I think it hasn't worked out totally for him, and they're very inconsistent as a program. But they're still a better program right now, as you said, than Tennessee, than some of the other SEC West
teams. Better than when he took over, I would say.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that's the other thing to think about, too, is again, we talk a lot about expectations of these teams and their fan bases. Well, Texas A&M came into the SEC on the West side and had great – fortune out of the gates with Johnny Manziel. Well, that's a bit of an aberration. And so he clearly was a once-in-a-decade type player as far as on the field goes. And so they've kind of had to resettle. And so I think your fan base and your boosters and those folks should give him a couple more years to figure out. Let's also remember this is Texas A&M football coming to the SEC West at a time that's being dominated by Alabama, by LSU, by Mississippi State is up, by all these other teams. And so this isn't Arkansas, but this is a team that should be pretty happy with where they're at, and he should probably get another couple of years, whether they're boosters and trustees will let him do it or not is the question.
I agree.
Right now in the West, his program is better than Ole Miss. His program is better than Arkansas, at least better than those teams.
Yeah.
So he's not completely on the bottom right now. I mean, the bottom is falling out at Ole Miss right now. So
You could argue better than LSU.
You could. And or at least on the same level.
Absolutely.
They should be able to compete with LSU and Mississippi State year in and year out right now. And they're inconsistent. I absolutely agree. But if you get the defense figured out a little bit, then maybe you can bring some of that consistency. And maybe he hasn't figured out what kind of team he wants to have there. But by the end of the season, he should. I think – if you're Florida, you're trying to hire Dan Mullen away, right?
Yeah,
you have to.
So that just is the perfect fit for them. And so if you lose Dan Mullen off the board, and if Tennessee hires Gruden or some other kind of whack job decision, then who else is out there? Who do you want?
That's an interesting point. The Tennessee fans, because as you guys know,
Goes without saying.
And I don't just go to Vol Nation when Bama's playing them. I'm a loyal troll.
Week.
I'm a loyal troll.
We appreciate that about you, Mark.
I've been reading it lately.
I do.
And they are convinced Gruden would be the savior of the program.
The groomers are the
And I'm like, this guy would come in there and not – he wouldn't recruit. He doesn't want to recruit. He would recruit some just with his name, but he didn't want to do that kind – he wants to do pro stuff he does not want. So if he comes in, I don't think he'd be that successful.
I don't think so either.
I think Gruden would – you know, that Bama-Tennessee game, Gruden would get killed every year just like Butch Jones.
Absolutely.
In that game. I really
And he'd have
that.
To hire incredibly strong assistants that could recruit. And guess what? Those assistants aren't out there right now because they're going to get head coaching jobs if they're that good at recruiting, or they're going to get assistant jobs at better schools because they're going to be open. And so, again, look at assistant coaches' jobs, and I swear to you at least one or two of the Florida State assistant jobs are going to be open. There's going to be countless other coordinator jobs open, and Tennessee is still not going to be a top five job for the hottest assistant OC or DC. That is where you're going to have to add the recruiters to the team for Gruden, for his coaching staff.
If I was Tennessee, I'd go out and hire somebody like Kyle Willingham at Utah. The guy's done a good job out there. Suddenly that program's not quite as good as it was, but he's a – you know, the guy's a proven good football coach.
And there's a couple things with the Tennessee job, or with Groomer, the Groomers are running around in my head. Gruden and the Tennessee
Giants.
It's
all fashion today.
Right. Number one is, will he even take it? He will never take the job. He's a pro guy. He wants his name out there. I think he likes his name out there. And he's stoking the fire just a little bit, just to get the groomers going. And then that second part, Mark, is what you said. Who really knows if he would be a good coach at all? Adam, you nailed it. You would have to have incredible assistant coaches. And I believe that if Chip Kelly were to go to Florida, I think the same with him. I think he would need incredible coaches that recruit, because neither one of those guys want to recruit.
They also don't want glad hand boosters and do all that stuff.
Which you have to do at those two programs. Right. I think you're right, Mark. Tennessee needs to go get somebody who's a proven winner.
They do.
Who can compete every year. And that's all you can
have.
Eyes off this huge target out here.
Right.
It's not going to come there anyway.
And the biggest thing, Gruden, it's unknown. Who knows how he would be in college? Initially, the sound of Gruden being Tennessee's head coach sounds like the most amazing thing of all time. But when you really break it down and think about it, is it going to work out? I don't think Tennessee fans, I don't think we'll ever even – we get close to seeing that.
I think Gruden's been sitting in a comfy chair, cashing a check for shooting the bull off the top of his head for too long now. And that sounds like a heck of a gig compared to this nonsense.
Absolutely.
And deep down, he knows it.
Absolutely.
He has to, right?
But it feels pretty good to put your name out there every once in a while. We're all human. We all like that. Now, Chip Kelly, I don't think, has been in that comfy chair long enough. I think there's still probably some restlessness in him that he hasn't achieved what he thinks he can achieve. So I think he'll take a job.
I think he's the next Florida job.
So you throw out Chip Kelly and Dan Mullen, if Dan Mullen will leave, which I think if you're Dan Mullen, you should leave.
This is Dan's chance to get out and do great things.
You've done what you can do there.
You've done everything you can do with the recruiting base
you've done it with Prescott, and you've done it with a new non-Prescott guy.
Right.
And you've got the Florida job open, which is where you came from. And so I think that those two are the hottest coaches. Tennessee gets neither of them, I think, but maybe I'm wrong. But I think you're right. I think it's the Coach Peterson move that you could have maybe pulled off a couple years ago.
That's the perfect example.
It's that kind of guy that when Hawaii or Boise or somebody out west had a great team, or it's one of these Justin Fuentes-type hires from
Mike Norvell
from
Memphis.
You get somebody from a second-tier kind of program, a non-Power 5, and you get somebody who – I think your point, Mark, is great, that is paying attention to the day-to-day development and coaching of the players and isn't focusing on winning a natty in year one.
Right.
If they give them 3 to 5 years, that's how you get a program to the next level. And these teams need to realize that you're level down now.
Right.
And so you're not hovering still at the bottom of the top. You're now hovering at the top of the bottom, and that's a significant jump. And this person isn't going to likely get you all the way to the top. This person's just going to be the coach that probably gets you into the bottom of the top again.
Right, right.
And so if they're realistic about that, I think that you're exactly right. That's the style of coach they should go after.
Yeah. Right. A proven winner, period.
Proven winner.
And Arkansas is going to get jumped.
And somebody who's good at recruiting in the territory they live in.
Absolutely.
If they're good at – like Mullen, for instance. Mullen has done everything he can at Mississippi State. So you know he's pretty good at recruiting. He's gotten everything he can out of that program, but it's Mississippi.
And he gets the most out of his players.
But you know if he goes to Florida,
he can get
he's
back
suddenly
into Florida.
Got this incredible recruiting base. He's already proven he can run a good program because it's tough to be
–
I'd say he's pretty consistent at Mississippi State.
Yep,
you're never going to go unbeaten at Mississippi. He almost did that one year until they ran into Bama.
Yeah,
the buzzsaw.
Yeah.
Quite literally.
But he's done as much as – I think almost any coach could do at Mississippi State, unless it's Saban or somebody. I think he's really
– And if you can recruit Florida, which you can, you're recruiting against Mark Richt now in Florida. You're recruiting against Jimbo Fisher now in Florida. You're recruiting against a USF team and a UCF team in Florida, which didn't used to be the case.
Five really good coaches right there.
And you add the rest of the Southeast that Dan Mullen's been flirting with. You pick up a couple more players out of Mississippi and Tennessee and those states that Dan Mullen now knows, then I think that you can bring Florida back kind of quick. And so I think that's certainly a great move for him. But And that's the most positive things I've ever said about either Dan Mullen
or
the University of Florida.
You're even saying the University of Florida. I'm shocked.
I'm trying to be a real adult.
Not one mention of Alachua County.
No, not yet at least. All right, well, enough of this. My pants don't have any rips in them. I can tell you that we have countless pairs of little boys' jeans in my house that have rips all over the place. But they weren't bought that way. So let's take a short break, and we'll be right back with some fearless picks. You're in the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, I'm Mayor Walt Maddox, and you're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Fellas, we all went 14-6 last week, including our dear friend George Brown. A couple of us picked some random games that we thought were crazy that ended up working out. Adam, when looking at last week's games and our picks and we're locked up, what stands out to you as how bad are we?
Well, I first want to interject that we didn't all go 14-6. There was somebody who did not go in 14-6, and that was our special guest, Bobby Embody.
That's right.
Right.
So my old dear Bobby. Friend Bobby went 6-4.
Ooh.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Which is not our strongest.
Maybe he shouldn't have hated on WKU
segment. Maybe so. And so I know he's buddies with Andy Billings, who went 8-2, I think, his week, right?
I think he did like 18-3. I think Andy did the whole list.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Andy balled out.
He did phenomenal.
So while we'd love to have Bobby back sometime, he's going to have to step up his game. And we didn't count the Hastings pick, and he knew Hastings was going to lose, but he went with his alma mater, and I appreciate that.
Somebody
who blindly follows my alma mater, and so good for that. But I just wanted to make sure that was on the air.
Well, and the thing about Bobby too is he tweeted the fact he wasn't doing too great.
He did, yeah.
He owned it on Twitter.
He owned it.
And, he had Twitter game, and he was
better
a fantastic
than us, actually,
guest.
Sometimes.
Absolutely.
We kind of avoid how we did.
We give him certainly some credit, but he doesn't deserve it all. Gotcha. So, yeah, we all went 14-6. We all missed Washington-Stanford from Friday night. I think for me, the Cyclones pick really did me in. The TCU pick over Oklahoma, because I honestly have been waiting for Baker Mayfield to be so full of himself that he falls on his face, and it hasn't happened yet. And I went with Mike Bobo for no real good reason. And then, of course, Arizona State stunned Devils out of nowhere. Your chosen Rosen pick, Andrew, looks pretty strong.
You know I did that on purpose.
I did get Barn
over Georgia.
I was going to say, you had the best pick of the thing. You're the only one that picked the Barn.
I did take Barn over Georgia.
Why did you do – I still don't know why you did that.
I felt the black magic coming.
You just felt it in your soul, didn't you?
There's a combination of the black magic that Auburn has and the absolute stub-your-toe magic that Georgia has. And
that's a lethal combination.
Those two coming together, there's just too much voodoo for that game to survive in the way that it was supposed to. And so that went down.
We didn't talk about this, but your beloved Mark Stoops at Kentucky killed Vanderbilt last week.
Whooped up on Vandy, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Stoops is a good coach. He's just at Kentucky.
You're exactly right.
I think he's going to get a look at another team someday. He's a defensive-minded coach. I think if you're Texas A&M and you do fire Kevin Sumlin, I don't think they'd ever do this, but I think that Mark Stoops is a decent coach for that program.
Yeah,
I think Mark Stoops going to Mississippi State is a decent move for him. I think Mark Stoops is going to get another look as an HC.
Yeah, he probably is.
He's a good coach.
He may not be at Kentucky next year. Yeah, he's going to get some offers.
He ran a heck of a defense at Florida State, and it made a huge impact on that program, and that's why I have this insane love for them. We all missed Virginia Tech versus Georgia Tech, and that's a typical kind of Georgia Tech game to win. And
I hate Georgia Tech. I'm sorry, Adam.
They're hard to pick. I agree. They're hard to pick.
They're hard to pick. They're inconsistent.
I despise them. And, hate was a strong word. But,
that's fine. Yeah. And then Minnesota-Nebraska went a little bit differently.
Yeah,
Dr.
George Brown didn't go with his home university there. He went against it. We actually went.
I followed George into the depths of despair on that
you
one.
You did, yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah, Adam and I had confidence in the Golden Gophers, man.
Yeah, it helped us out. And the Cyclones, I think, certainly betrayed me. And Oklahoma State's been a weird team this year, and they've been inconsistent and – I think that's what we're seeing now. The Big 12 is very inconsistent.
The only consistency
of Oklahoma.
In Oklahoma State, we all know what it is.
It's the mullet.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
it.
Right.
That is always consistent.
Yeah. The partying back is there, man. And that's the thing.
Y'all, I love it. I think it's great. Hey, give me a coach who throws the ball a million times a game and has a mullet. I'm all in on that.
He's a man. He's 40.
That's right. So, he's 50 now. That was 10 years ago.
I know.
I think he's a country music singer from another life.
He does look like that. He needs a steel guitar.
He's got that
Billy Ray Cyrus vibe, certainly. Because that's the same version of mullet that Billy Ray rocked back in the day.
Yeah, shaky, breaky, hard, or whatever it is.
You nailed it, Mark.
Yeah, there we go.
Achy. It's not shaky.
Okay, sorry. Sorry. It's been a while.
It's fine. Nobody should be talking about
this. All right, guys, let's refocus.
Right,
let's refocus. Let's get into some picks here. We actually kick off at 11 a.m. here in a few minutes. At 11 a.m., one of the biggest games of the week, Michigan at Wisconsin on Fox.
Yeah.
Fellas.
I think it's all Wisconsin. I don't think Khakis have it.
I think Khakis done for this year, too. I think Wisconsin's going to actually, I think it's not going to be close. Yeah, I don't know if it's a total blow, but it's not going to be close.
I think Michigan wins this game.
Really?
I really do. I have not lost faith in the milk drinking khaki lord. I cannot. We joke that Mark loves Harbaugh on the show, but I secretly actually really like him.
You do like
and him. And I would love for him to be my coach. But so I'm going with Michigan. I haven't lost faith.
Harbaugh is such an unlikable guy that teams fire him when he's successful. I don't understand why we still.
That GM also got fired for the 49. It was a group effort.
Yeah.
All right, another one. 11 a.m. here.
another game.
TCU at Texas Tech. This is I found this a little tough, but I'm going. Well, I'll just say I'm going to TCU.
I'd like to go Texas Tech too. I love it when the Red Raiders are kind of fun and score 70 points and beat a team. But I don't think it's going to be this week. I'd love for it to happen, but I think TCU recovers and beats them on the road.
Yeah, the over under has to be a million on this game.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Oh, yeah.
I'm going TCU as well.
All right. Georgia Browns Minnesota against Northwestern. This is a kind of tough pick too. I think Gophers up against Northwestern.
I watched Northwestern play last week, and they played pretty strong.
Why'd you do that?
You know, because I got two TVs going. Sometimes you play around.
When you're a big baller, you have two TVs.
So I'm going with Northwestern here. I think that they're going to win. I don't think Minnesota can pull it off 2 weeks in a row.
I think I'm also going with the journalists at Northwestern as well.
There we go. Yeah, it's a great journalism school, no doubt. Great school. All around.
Over.
Yeah. Texas at West Virginia, the comb over versus the Longhorns. Who you got?
I'm taking the Mountaineers.
It's
in Morgantown. Texas obviously is just not quite back yet. So I'm taking the Mountaineers.
I'm taking them too, but they burn
me every time.
I don't
feel very good about it, but
I want the Mountaineers to kind of pull something together in the next couple of weeks and take down Oklahoma in the last week of the season.
That would make you so happy.
So that's kind of what I want to happen.
I'm with you guys. I'm with the Mountaineers in this, and they're going to be playing Country Roads at the end of this, which is their tradition at the end of this game.
So such a cool tradition.
It is a cool tradition. Really, really cool. You know, they even had John Denver there, but obviously before he died. He can't be there after. But
right. They
had him there one time in the 70s playing it.
That's great.
Yeah, really cool.
UCF at Temple. This is a football game.
UCF.
UCF, I think I'm going Scott, with the Central
hey,
Knights,
Scott
too.
Frost continues to build his stock in this game.
All right.
All right, UCF, all the way.
Every once in a while somebody goes to Temple and loses, but it's not going to be now. So here's a dark red game, Mississippi State at Arkansas. I think Mullen blows them out, right?
I do. I think they win for sure.
Yeah, this is huge blowout, I think. Yeah.
We'll skip Mercer at Alabama, I guess, because there's a lot to talk about maybe in that game. And we'll go straight to Fresno State at Wyoming. What channel is this on even? Is this on some kind of like cell phone channel?
This is on AT&T Sports Network, but I don't know who has that. I don't.
I have 7,000 channels at my house,
and
I don't know that I have.
I don't understand. I don't know. I'm not sure that even exists.
I may have to pick it up in my fillings in the back of my teeth.
Yeah. This is a tough pick, though. These are two pretty good football teams right here. You know, Fresno State, Bama played. Fresno State, they're both 7-3. They're both 7-3. They're doing really well, and they've beaten some – you know, Fresno State has done really well since the Bama game.
I think Mark was up too late on the volunteer message boards.
I love it.
Well, I will say,
running out of games.
Two of Fresno State's losses are to Bama and Washington.
That's true.
So
he's dropping
you
some
take that Mark. Away.
Mark's
but,
trying to change our minds here.
But I'm not picking them. I'm going Wyoming.
You're going Wyoming?
Yeah.
So George Brown went Fresno State.
He did.
Andrew, what in the world are you going to do?
Oh, man, I'm going to go with the Bulldogs, I guess.
Fresno Which team
State.
Is that?
That's the Fresno State Bulldogs. Okay. Thank you. Yes, keep up, Adam.
I'm trying, but good Lord. I'm going to go Wyoming because I have no better reason to do anything else.
The Cowboys.
Cowboys Wyoming.
Without a mullet. There we go.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Horse with no name as well. So I think that's going to wrap us up for the 11 a.m. games right in the 1 p.m. We'll go ahead and take a break here on the Skybox, and we'll get into some of these 2:30 matchups. You're listening to 90.7 The Capstone, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, I'm Sarah Patterson, and you're listening to the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. We are continuing with our fearless picks. We will go to the 2:30 games. We have a huge one here. Kansas State at Oklahoma State. We have the old guy versus the mullet.
Yeah.
Mark, what do you think?
I'm going mullet. I think you never know. Kansas State, of course, is a pretty decent football team. They can. They usually do better at home, though, in these big games. They're not at home. They're at Oak State. I'm going with the Cowboys on this.
I'm going the same for all the same reasons.
Totally agree, guys. Another 2:30 game, a game I'm really interested in personally, Kentucky at Georgia. Adam, does Georgia stumble again against the Cats, who've actually had a pretty decent season?
I think this is a bad day for Kentucky to go into Georgia, and I think they're going to get just walloped between the hedges, because I think Georgia is going to use it as motivation and not use it as a spiral out of control kind of game. So I think they're going to beat up on Stoopsie pretty bad.
I'm with you, Adam. I think this is Georgia's going to roll on them, and I would actually like to see an upset here just for a little
Be
chaos
awesome.
In the SEC again and all that, but because Georgia's wrapped up the SEC championship game, it'd be nice to see them have two losses at the end of that game, because then they got no chance in the playoffs. And if Bama were to beat Auburn and lose to Georgia, which I don't think will happen, I don't think they'll lose to Georgia, but Bama still might go, even if Georgia won.
Yeah. Right.
So anyway, I just think
there's a lot of interest if they lose.
Right. But Georgia's going to blow out Kentucky, I think. I think you're right.
I agree. I think Georgia wins. Also, I believe that this is a game to see who Georgia really is this year. I mean, obviously, Kirby Smart, first sign of adversity this year. Are they going to come back and kill Kentucky like we all know they should? Or, you know, are they gonna come out and be frustrated from last week? Is there gonna be a hangover, everything like that?
They looked bad last
week.
They
did. They looked awful.
Auburn looked great, don't get me wrong, but Georgia also looked bad.
I think we found out who Georgia is.
Well, Georgia's
today.
Defense had no containment. Auburn kept running that jet sweep. I mean, you know, around
every
one
time.
In, and they just went for 30, 40, 50 yards every time. Nobody there.
And Georgia's got fast guys, and so there's no reason that
shouldn't have happened.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's coaching. I don't know if that's the players.
And then
not.
The penalties. Yeah. And the turnovers and the
– It was a bad day last week.
It was a bad day for them. And they helped Auburn a lot just by their alignment, by their missed gaps. I'm trying to make excuses for, or say Auburn didn't win that great.
But
Auburn played a great game, there's no doubt. But Georgia helped them a lot,
It looked like a Mark Richt Georgia team is what it looked like.
It did.
And so that is what used to happen with Richt all the time.
They still got a little Richt in them.
Yep.
Well, that number one ranking did get
them.
Right? Got them.
I mean, my friends in Athens were so pumped they couldn't get over themselves. It was just magical to them, and they just had the biggest parties in the world to go watch the Auburn game, and they were just – it's because they just aren't used to it anymore. And so that got to them. Absolutely.
That's why
we were so excited about it.
And it really hurt them, because they didn't just lose the game. They got blown out.
Yeah.
It hurt them. It hurt their – going into the playoffs, I don't think they're going to get there. But anyhow,
staying with the 2:30 games, we have Navy at Notre Dame. This is a yearly game for Notre Dame and Navy to play each other. What are y'all's thoughts on this?
Well, Navy's no pushover. They got that running game. It's a really good football team, and I would love to see. I'm going to pick Notre Dame in this game because they're at home. They're the better team, I think. But I would love to see Navy upset them, and it is possible.
So I agree with you. I think it's possible. I'm not going to pick Navy. I'm going to pick Notre Dame. It's possible that Notre Dame's a little hungover from last week, and I think that Navy can confuse you, and they play a little bit different style. But Notre Dame plays these teams every year.
They do.
And so they're a little bit more used to this kind of running team than most programs. So I think they certainly win the game. But, gosh, I'd love it if they didn't.
I'm going with the Irish as well. 3 p.m., UAB at Florida. Mark, I believe you mentioned earlier in the show that you're interested in seeing this game.
What, I'm going fearless on this one. I'm picking UAB.
I actually think
UAB is the better football team right now. Now, Florida has better athletes. But they are a mess. Their program is in disarray. I don't think they quite know what they're doing. You know, it could go two ways. It could go – obviously.
Sorry. Adam's over here dying.
Well, there may be a third way. I'm not sure. Although we don't have ties
the
in
game could be canceled
because
of the weather.
Right?
Game could
well,
be
they
canceled.
Well,
right.
They could go into overtime 0-0, like 10 overtimes, and just finally call it a day, right? But that's great. But I think UAB is going to win this game. I think they've got a good coach. They got a pretty good program now, and Florida's in disarray. And maybe it's just wishful thinking, but UAB.
I think Florida's gonna out-athlete them, if anything.
I think it's closer than it should be, but I think Florida's going to win. So, yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Great. So moving into 6 p.m., Adam, probably one of your favorite picks on the board that you have no idea about, Arizona at Oregon. What do you think?
There's nothing like a man scorned by a team from Arizona. And it's at 6 p.m., which is nice. It's not like at 6 a.m., which these Pac-12 games can be. And so, you know, I think Arizona's going to beat Oregon at Oregon. It's amazing to me how quickly Oregon has just dropped off the face of the earth. And so I think my man Rich Rod wins.
Yeah, I still think Khalil Tate is one of the best players in America at quarterback. He's a little inconsistent. He throws some interceptions, but man, that guy is
Lamar
Jackson when he takes off and runs the football, or when he's a really exciting player. He's a very good player, and when he's on, he's on. And I think he's going to be on. I think Arizona wins this game.
No doubt. I think Oregon wins it, actually. Okay. I'm going with my guy, Willie Taggart. It's a great point, Mark. Khalil Tate really is a great football player, and he's really exciting to watch. But I got to go with Oregon.
All right.
It's in Autzen Stadium, but they're at home.
Well, good for you. So here's a here's an SEC game, 6 o'clock. Texas A&M and Ole Miss. I think maybe when you circled this early on in the season, you thought this could really matter, and it won't. Maybe it will for Coach Sumlin, but I think this is all A&M on the road in Oxford, and I think it's a sad day in the Grove once again.
I think A&M wins, but I will say this about the Ole Miss team. They're having fun. They're having fun. I think Matt Luke knows it's not his job now. They're having fun. They're slinging the ball around. A&M still wins the game.
Yeah, A&M wins this one. You're right. Ole Miss has found an offense again, and they are throwing it around. But A&M's just a better team, I think. All right, well, we got one at another 6 o'clock game at LSU at Tennessee. These teams seem to be going in different directions right now. Who you guys got?
I think LSU.
Yeah,
for
LSU's
sure.
on the upswing, and I think they I think they lay into Tennessee pretty hard. I think it's ugly.
I think it's ugly, too. I think they're going to get 1,000 yards rushing in this game.
I think they could.
No, not 1,000, but
it's
possible. They're going to blow this team out. Tennessee, you know, they finally did something good. Well, you know, they got rid of Butch Jones.
Yep.
They needed to do that. That was bringing that program. I'm not just saying him personally, but it's really bringing the program down, that indecision, letting him hang around while they're losing, getting blown out by Missouri last week. Bama blows them out. Georgia blows them out. Yep. These weren't just losses.
Yep.
They were really humiliating blowouts. So, finally, they made the right decision.
Yep.
Is that going to affect them this time? I don't think so. I think LSU is going to blow them.
That's a good point. That's too late for that call, and you embarrass the program
for
a few years. You make that job look less appealing by doing that, and I agree.
I don't think Brady Hoke has that Coach O mentality, the interim Coach O mentality of getting the guys fired up enough to play.
He's
so.
Just going to spit a lot.
And maybe and wear a headset.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Let's go over to my beloved ACC, NC State at Wake Forest.
Who cares?
I think Mark Mayfield cares.
I think
Mark Mayfield
he's got a twinkle in his eye over there.
He's got a twinkle in his eye.
Wake Forest has an offense, and they're at home. I think they're going to outscore them. I think it's going to be a bit of a shootout, and I think Wake Forest wins this. They're pretty tough at home. I'm going with them.
I'm going the Wolfpack.
Yeah, I'm going Wolfpack, too. It's a beautiful time to be on the campus at Wake Forest. I'll bet you the trees are just gorgeous. But, man, they're going to lose that game.
Yeah.
I'm going all Wolfpack. Let's go out west to the big matchup, Trojan Rosen at USC. USC has kind of snuck back into the mix at this point of the season. And I certainly don't know if the Pac-12 is still alive in the bigger picture. But USC is, what, number 11, I think, in the – playoff
ranking. I guess they are back up that far.
UCLA won a game last week that they didn't that they shouldn't have won. And
right.
So this is the ABC 7 p.m. game. And what do you got, Andrew? I'm looking at you first, buddy.
I'm going with the Trojans. You know I want to go with Chosen
I
Rosen.
I do. That's
kind
of why I went
and
to
his bunch.
First.
But the USC's a better football team. And they kind of like last year, they won a few games and flew under the radar a little bit, and I feel like they've flown under the radar the past couple games. Okay. So.
Yeah, I think Sam Darnold's been somewhat of a disappointment though as a quarterback. He's really like a
he got hyped up a lot
early. Yeah. He has not fulfilled those expectations, but he's still a good quarterback. And I agree, the USC is the better football team, and I don't think this will be close. I think USC wins.
Yeah, I agree. They blow them out. Yep. I was looking for more out of you, Andrew.
I'm sorry.
Chosen Rosen.
You were
Chosen Rosen. No,
I got to make a comeback.
The rest of
here.
Us have written him off.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. But I thought you were right. You were into him. So let's end this thing at 9:30 p.m. The mighty Utes of Utah going to Washington. Washington, who fell inexplicably last week to Stanford. I guess not inexplicably, but you know, a game they should have won.
Yeah, I think we all picked Washington.
I think we all picked Washington. Yeah. Absolutely, think, yeah. On one of those Friday night Pac-12 games. On what, Fox 7 or something.
Yeah.
And so Utah, Washington, do the Utes have any chance over there up there in Washington?
No, I think Washington. I think the Huskies band together like the Pack and come together and beat the Utes.
Yeah, I think Washington wins this. I think the Utes are on a downward spiral now. They've been better in the past, and I think they're
– I have picked Utah a lot this year, but I can't do it today.
Me either. I'm going Washington. I just hope – you know, one thing about, like, one of those games last – these Pac-12 at night games, for some reason, are going – not only they obviously start late on East Coast and also our Central
they're
time.
They're going forever, right?
They go on
Is
forever.
That what you're going to say?
Because
yeah.
they throw the ball every play.
I mean, you know, that game
– the clock stops every down.
And not only them, but I think it was the Boise State-Colorado State game last week that started at, like, 9:30 Central time. That thing went on for, like, 5 hours,
yeah.
It seemed like. I
right.
couldn't figure that. That's not the – Pac-12, but it went on forever.
I fall asleep and wake up twice in some of these games, and the game's still on.
Yeah,
I don't understand. I'm going Washington, too. Neither one of you all asked me who I was picking.
Well, we don't really care, Adam, so that's the thing.
I'm going to go Washington as well, just so you all know it, and it's on the record.
All right, guys, let's take a quick break here. We're going to be back to talk about the game starting here in just a few minutes here at Bryant-Denny, Bama and Mercer. And we'll also talk a little bit about the Iron Bowl. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
We're the Ballad Assembly, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone!
Back to Skybox on 9.7 The Capstone. It's Bama and Mercer at Bryant-Denny here in just a few minutes. The quad is active, relatively active. It's kind of a breakfast vibe.
Yep.
Here on the quad. It's a pretty morning. So I think most of us are worried about injuries and first team versus second team and things like that in this game, more so than the actual win-loss. Am I right on that? I mean, Mark said earlier that Mercer is a better team than they could be, and
right.
And they, what, 14
they
points to Auburn?
Yeah, I think it's 24-10. That was pretty close.
Mercer's doing the whole Alabama tour this
and
year.
Yeah. I think they're 5-5 in this game. They're not horrible at all.
No, but I think it's key to keep people healthy this week, right? We got a lot of injuries.
No
yeah.
doubt.
Yeah, I'd Saban will not like this, of course, but I would – he's a little busy today, so he's not listening to us. I would love to see Bama just start the second, third teams in this game and just play them. I really would. I mean, I they'd still win the game, and I think that linebacking core for Bama, it's scary right now.
It does not need to get any worse.
And we're going
to
need him against Auburn. We're going to need him against Georgia. We're not going to need him today.
No,
we're not going to need first string, second string today.
No.
We're just not.
And if Bama takes more injuries today, and of course that could happen, it's trouble.
Yeah,
I absolutely agree. We have not seen Alabama with this kind of injuries in maybe since Saban's been here.
Yeah,
this many at one time. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, I think the poor Mercer. What they're Bearcats?
The Bears.
Bears.
Mercer Bears.
They got a little bit of orange in them, right? Orange and black.
Orange and black. Yeah.
Yep. There we go.
So yeah, I think they're gonna get. They're going to get beaten pretty badly.
Yeah, I do too. I think so too. I think I think, you know, Mercer has, like, the Auburn game. But, you know, that's just Auburn not getting up for that game and all that. I think Bama, after last week in the scare at Starkville, they're going to come out and they're going to play with efficiency, and I think they're going to blow this team out
today. It's 42-10. That's what I'm going to give you, 42-10. How about that? 10 is being kind of kind, I think.
I'm sort of saying 48-7, something like that.
All right. I'm going 2-2. I'm kidding. I think it's
the traditional 12-34.
I think 42-3.
Yeah, the touchdown would be is interesting.
Right,
if they can get a touchdown, that'll be interesting. But hopefully, we start the third string or second. We start the second string, bringing the third string D backs in the second half, and that's how you get a touchdown.
And this Mercer game is interesting because Alabama does come off such a emotionally, physically tough game last week against a Mississippi State team. They gave them all sorts of fits, really. That we all saw came down to the end of the game. So. Obviously, you want to avoid any type of hangover.
Yep.
And I know that sounds ridiculous because we're going to play Mercer today. But that's something that you want to avoid. That and avoiding injuries are the two things that you really have to do today.
Now, if they were bringing the Allman Brothers to town, if they were bringing Otis Redding to town, then I think we'd have to put it a little bit closer. But, you know, I think outside of the Georgia Music Hall of Fame, Macon does not have a ton
to
offer us.
I didn't know that, and I didn't know where you were going with that. But I dig that kind of information.
You know, my information here.
They're not rolling down Highway 41.
No.
Any good spots to eat, Macon?
So there is a Steak and Shake in Macon that if you're driving from Savannah, where my parents live, to Atlanta or Tuscaloosa, the Sterrett family always stops in that Steak and Shake.
Kill a Frisco melt.
There's also a restaurant there, and I can't remember the name, but that has a cannonball hole in the door. And it said it was the one cannonball as Sherman and the troops turned left as they were going south and went east. But the claim is they fired one cannonball over the river in Macon. And that was it.
That's good.
That's it. That's incredible.
That's the story. There's probably – and I've been in the restaurant. I just can't remember that there's no – there's probably no truth to it. But it's a legend. And so it's – Mercer, you know, Macon's worth visiting for that. Yeah. But, of course, the music tradition.
Georgia Music Hall of Fame is there. Fantastic. And Otis Redding and Allman Brothers are two of the great all-time greats. Bill Berry, the original drummer from R.E.M., was from there.
All sorts of music.
They have a really great cherry blossom festival there every year. That's, I think, even large, more cherry trees than Washington, I think.
Yep, absolutely.
It's really good. This is a town worth visiting. It's a good town.
You guys are teaching me all sorts of great stuff today.
Yeah, food's great.
Yeah.
Football team,
Mercer Bears.
Mercer Bears. Well, look, I think we've given our score on the game, but let's kind of pitch forward. Because we're going to take a break a week along with everyone else.
Thanksgiving
break. We're not going to have a show on Saturday, the day of the Bama Auburn Iron Bowl. So, what are you guys thinking about the Iron Bowl as we go into it?
You know, I think most people, like myself, felt a lot more confident before Auburn's performance last week. And of course, we all feel that there's some kind of crazy magic that they have every once in a while.
Blood magic,
and
as you said earlier.
It happened last week against Georgia, and can it still happen in the next week? I think that our defense has to get healthier in the next week. I think that it's going to be a close game. I think playing up there certainly is certainly plays into their favor versus ours. I don't know.
I think the perfect storm of us being nervous going into this game has happened. Linebacking core has been depleted with injuries. Auburn has really figured it out. Gus Malzahn's given the offense back to his offensive coordinator and hasn't really, you know, been messing with the offense. And it just, like you said, Adam, 2 weeks ago, full confidence Alabama would kill Auburn. But after what they did to Georgia and after Mississippi State really exposed some things against Alabama last week, it's going to be a pretty intense pretty intense week and pretty intense game, honestly.
It is. I'm glad that it's not a night game. I think it might be even worse for Bama at night there. But it is going to be a tough – no matter what time of day, but the 2:30 game is still going to be tough. It'll go right into the evening, early evening, and you know, we've seen Bama go down there and take care of business, and we've seen Bama go down there and lose in crazy ways.
Yep.
So I was thinking about this. Alabama, the times they have lost to Auburn, I think since Saban's been here, I think he's lost three times to Auburn, including the first year, which doesn't
It's not his team.
Not really his team. But the other two times he's lost, one was a, you know, really kind of a fluke with that 2013 game, the way they lost it. The other one was Cam Newton coming to Tuscaloosa.
Yeah. If you've got Cam Newton and you've got kick six in there, then those are
right. But generally, Bama's played well down there. They've certainly blown them out a few times here in Tuscaloosa, but the game is there and it's generally close. I think the key for Bama is on offense. I think they need to stay with their running game. Mm-hmm. Georgia didn't establish the running game, which is what they do.
Never got it.
Bama's got to do that. But Bama, I also think Hurts. A great thing happened in Starkville, and that was this Hurts to Ridley connection.
Yep.
And if that happens against Auburn, they're gonna, even if Auburn's able to score with whatever's happening with Bama's defensive injuries, Bama can outscore this team.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a great point, Mark, because if we go back to basics and use the run to open up the pass, the run is there and the pass will be there. And so I think that, yes, they may score some points. And I also think what we talked about earlier in the season is that this is still the most consistent Alabama football team I've seen in the last few years. Yeah. And so in some of those games that we lost against Auburn, we were playing a little bit above ourselves. And so I don't think we are this year. I think we're kind of playing where we should be, and I think we're a little bit more consistent. And I'm not as of the game last week. I know people were terrified by it, and it was a close game, but that's a tough opponent on the road. And
where they ring cowbells all night.
We had some injuries, you know, so I mean, I'm not, that didn't really throw me off path as much as it did other people. Yeah. It was great for us to get a little bit of a scare. It's great for us to be able to watch tape of Georgia getting demolished.
Yeah.
I think Coach can use those two things certainly in our favor once he stops talking about fashion. And I think that that's probably why he was a little light in the press conference this week, is because he's probably not being that light in the locker rooms with the guys. And so I think we win a relatively close game that's not terrifying, but that's relatively close.
Yeah, I was – you know, Saban's reaction after the Bama Mississippi State game was interesting in that, he wasn't negative. He was – you know, he praised the team for coming back under adversity. Mm-hmm. And I thought it said something like he understands that Mississippi State could have handled anybody that night.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, people look and they go, well, Auburn killed him by this. That's earlier in the season, that kind of thing. Yeah. You can't go by that. This Mississippi State team that night playing that team, you know, Bama does have defensive injuries, mm-hmm. but I also think they would have given anybody a game that night. And for Bama to pull it out the way they did with poise, especially the way Hurts played, Ridley played down the stretch, I think Saban, I don't know, I'm not putting words in his mouth. I just think that he was kind of projecting something there going, this is a better win than you think.
That's sort of how I
read it.
I agree.
And it'll help them in Auburn if there's adversity, I believe.
I think it's 28-20 us. 28-20 Alabama.
Whew. I'm going 24-21. Same type
of game. It's a one-score game.
Absolutely. I haven't even thought of the score there. I think it's – I think 28-21 is pretty good. Close. I think that's a – I don't know. I may change on my Twitter
picks
as
Twitter.
I think
don't
about
worry.
It. But it's going to be a close game. I think Bama does win it by a touchdown, put it that way. You know?
Great. All right. Well, that'll do it this week, and that'll do it for the next 2 weeks. I hope you all have a great Thanksgiving break next week, and we'll be taking a break ourselves. And so you'll have to find something else on TV Saturday morning or on the radio. Thanks so much to Terry. Thanks to the co-host. Thanks to everybody. Terry Siggers, GM of the station. All of you, be careful out there. We'll talk with you next time. You've been listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.